This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Hello, and welcome to Audio Journal's Radioactive Theater, presenting quality dramas, comedies, and mysteries from or reminiscent of the golden age of radio. This program is The Man with Bogart's Face, a radio play based on the novel and movie by Andrew J. Fennedy. A man calling himself Sam Marlowe has his face altered to resemble that of his idol, Humphrey Bogart, and then opens a detective agency and hires Duchess to be his secretary. The name Sam comes from Sam Spade in The Maltese Falcon and Philip Marlowe in The Big Sleep. His first case is to find Nicky, his landlady's missing husband. But business picks up when his picture appears in the papers involving the death of a father of his second client, Elsa Borscht. Some ruthless people are after a set of exquisite blue sapphires of unsurpassed value and beauty called the Eyes of Alexander from a statue of Alexander the Great. Marlowe finds they will go to great lengths to get them. Mustafa Hakim, Wolf Zindernuth, and Commodore Alexander Onastis are vying for the services of Marlowe, who searches for the gems with the help of the Commodore's beautiful daughter, Gina. Gary Galanik plays Sam Marlowe with supporting RAT players Holly Miller, Lorraine Mason, Emily Burish, Leo Frappier, John McManaman, and Steve Sardella. And now, The Man with Bogart's Face.
It's amazing how fast a kiss from a beautiful woman and $1,000 will cure a headache. At the office, I called Elsa Borscht and told her I'd be over later with a couple of steaks. That's when Duchess walked in.
Sam?
Duchess, either your skirts are getting shorter or your legs are getting longer.
Maybe both. Sam, there's someone here to see you.
Has she got a name?
I think he said it was Mr. Gazelle. I'll show him in.
She did. He was about 5'8". A ringer for Peter Lorre. Or maybe Herbert Lom. Mr. Gazelle.
Zebra. My name is Mr. Zebra.
Same family. Have a seat, Mr. Zebra.
Mr. Marlowe, have you ever heard of the Eyes of Alexander?
No.
Have you ever heard of $25,000?
What's one got to do with the other?
I am prepared to pay you $25,000 if you deliver to me Alexander's eyes.
Alexander who?
Why, the Great, of course.
Of course.
Is it acceptable?
It might be. Say, this Alexander, he's been dead for quite some time, hasn't he?
Of course. Over 2,300 years.
Well, what shape do you expect his eyes to be in?
Not his real eyes, of course.
Of course.
The eyes of the statue.
Oh, those eyes.
Of course.
You know, if you say of course enough times, it sounds silly.
Of course.
That's what I mean. And these eyes of Alexander, they're made out of whatchamacallit again?
Sapphires, of course. Mr. Marlowe, I get the distinct impression that you know much more than you reveal.
Huh. That's the impression you're supposed to get.
Of course. Here is my card. I have retained an answering service. Please call and leave word when you are ready to complete the transaction. And as you Americans say, the sooner the better.
That's what we Americans say, all right.
I'm glad to see that you are a man who is interested in money.
Why not? All things being equal, money makes them unequal.
I thank you and bid you a good day.
The same to you.
find Nikki yet?
No, Mother, but I've got a clue.
Screw your clue. I want Nikki.
Good as my word. I picked up a couple steaks and drove over to Elsa's place. I cooked up the meat and she sliced up a cucumber salad. The conversation was sparse until I asked if anybody called or anything unusual happened that day. That's when Elsa remembered.
The letter.
What letter?
It's very strange. A letter from my father and addressed to him in an envelope.
Let me see it. Postmarked yesterday. You sure it's his handwriting?
I'm sure. And it's some sort of poem.
Yeah. Under the tramp of marching feet, under the beat of daring drum, follow the three beneath post. Age will show the way to go, to a stone, high or low. Makes as much sense as Duchess. This is tougher than the Musgrave ritual.
What's the Musgrave ritual?
A Sherlock Holmes story. Universal made it into a picture in 1943. Rathbone and Nigel Bruce. They called it Sherlock Holmes Faces Death.
I think I saw it on television.
Yeah, they play it all the time. Did your father gamble? Maybe involved in narcotics? Anything like that?
No. He was a quiet man. A private, very private sort of person.
When did he come to the U.S. of A?
A few years after the war.
WW2? Was he one of Hitler's heroes?
I'm afraid so.
Okay, Angel. I'll run along.
Sam, a kiss goodnight?
You bet.
You make a great steak.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with your cucumbers either. I decided to go back to the office and try to figure out the Horst Borsch's message from the mausoleum. On the way up the stairs, I heard noises from the attic. Maybe it was rats. Or maybe it was two-legged rats with ski masks like Buster and Nero's uncle. I opened up the attic door and decided to poke around with my .38 police special leading the way to a little man working out with dumbbells. When he spotted me in the .38, he dropped the dumbbells. Evening, friend.
Eustace Christos.
Well, well, if it isn't little lost Nikki. So this is where you've been hibernating.
What does that hibern mean?
Resting.
I stay here till I'm ready for her.
She's ready for you right now.
I know. Say, sport, didn't I see you on television sometime in old movies?
That's somebody else.
Well, he sure look like you.
No, I look like him. The missus hired me to find you. She's worried.
So I... Please, no tell her yet. A few more days, I work out. I eat a lot of oysters.
I don't know if that'll do it, pal.
Before she go, drained, exhausted. She big woman.
I noticed.
I love, but she love it too much. I need,
hibernate. Okay, a couple more days, but I take you in. You're 3 months' rent to me.
Sure, sport.
Say, how do you pronounce your last name?
Karamaradikapoulos.
Yeah, well, so long, Nikki. Down to the office to do some deductive reasoning on Horst Borsch's letter. 2 hours later, I was still reasoning, deductively, without results. The riddle was as screwy as the Dutchman's name. That's when I heard it.
You said I didn't need an appointment.
Angel, you don't need anything.
Why, Sam, that's very nice.
You never told me how you happened to come here. I mean, the first time.
I saw your picture in the morning paper and read the story of what you did. I needed help. I'm glad I came.
So am I.
And you never told me why you hit me in Kane's club.
Simple. John Wayne slugged his pal Ward Bond in Hondo for the same reason. When you want to confuse the enemy, hit a friend.
Interesting. Want to buy me a drink someplace?
How about Muscle Frank's over on Hollywood Boulevard?
Hollywood Boulevard? I haven't been there in years.
Yeah, Hollywood Boulevard isn't what it used to be. But then again, It never really was.
What were you working on?
A letter from a dead man.
The man you killed?
No, from the man who was killed by the man I killed.
Mr. Borscht?
Yeah, Horst Borscht. About that drink.
Ready when you are.
I left the envelope on the desk and put the letter in my inside pocket. She put her arms around me. This was my night to be kissed.
Sam!
It looks like you were tailed, Angel. Was it Buster or Nero's uncle under that ski mask? She was sensational. With one swift stroke, she pushed my coat rack onto his gun hand. The gun fired into the floor. I pulled out my .38 and shot. He was hit and fell, but rolled over to fire again. I beat him to it, and this time he rolled over dead. Angel, you're good. You're very good.
And vice versa.
I called the cops again. The basket boy scooped up Nero's uncle. Even without his mask, nobody recognized him. Probably an out-of-towner. I thought it was the end of a perfect day. Well, it wasn't quite the end. The best was yet to come. But I didn't know it at the time. I went to my apartment and figured I'd riddle and riddle tomorrow, or try. Just as I was starting for the bedroom, I heard it.
We haven't had that drink yet.
Are you kidding?
Would I kid you? Found a liquor store that was open. How do you like your brandy?
In bed.
Grand Marnier. Do you like oranges?
If they're from your tree.
You've got a good physique, Mr. Marlowe.
And you ain't exactly the hunchback of Notre Dame. Grab a couple of snifters while I uncork.
Sam, do you believe in fate?
Right now I do.
What'll we drink to?
To fate, to beauty, and truth. And things that go bump in the night. By the middle of the next morning, I was back in the office. The police ID'd Nero's uncle. His name was Al Geiger. A lot of AKAs. Cheap hoodlum for hire with a long string of arrests and two convictions for assault.
Sam, I've got something for you.
Duchess, I got no time for games. This is serious business.
Look, Sam, money's... $5 $100 bills.
Yeah. Ben Franklin, my favorite printer. How did the 500 get here?
By a lady in the other room who wants to see you. I think you want to see her, too.
So do I.
I'll show her in. Oh, she's in.
So I see.
I'm out.
She was tall, beautiful, blonde, perfect, almost too perfect, in a silver-blue dress that emphasized her perfection. Even her voice and diction were perfect.
Mr. Merlot, I'm Cynthia Ashley. Mr. Hakim sent me.
That was friendly, and so was his money. What is it supposed to buy?
An hour of your time.
Here? Now?
No, at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Mr. Mustafa Hakim travels extensively, but he maintains a cottage there.
Doesn't everybody?
I'll take you.
And what else do you do, Sin, my dear, besides fetch for Mr. What's his name?
I am Mr. Hakim's executive secretary.
Yeah? How's your shorthand?
You might be surprised.
I might.
Shall we go?
You go. I'll meet you there. What's the number of the cottage?
Number 19. Mr. Hakim had it painted blue. That's his favorite color.
Mine's green. Tell the blue boy I'll be there in half an hour. I hopped into my 39 Plymouth and drove over to the hotel. Mustafa Hakim reminded me of Zachary Scott in The Mask of Demetrius, except he was all done in blue. The other guy, Zindernuf, was a ringer for Lionel Atwill in The Son of Frankenstein, right down to his wooden arm and black glove. And of course, Cynthia Ashley was there. Never mind what she reminded me of.
So good of you to come, Mr. Marlowe.
I couldn't resist your invitation. The green one.
Mr. Marlowe, this is Wolf Zindernoff.
Wolf clicked his heels. I clicked right back.
May I offer you a drink?
Got a beer?
Certainly. Mr. Zindernoff, the usual?
Bourbon.
Cynthia prepared and served the beverages. Then from a signal by the blue man, she went out the door. I watched till she disappeared.
Please, sit down, Mr. Marlowe.
Aren't you having something cool?
I rarely drink or smoke.
Are you Greek, Mr. Hakim? There seem to be an awful lot of Greeks around here lately.
Hardly. I am Turkish. You may be aware that the Greeks and Turks have a long history of, shall we say, incompatibility.
I've never seen a Turk with blue eyes.
My mother was not Turkish.
That's a coincidence. Neither was mine.
Mr. Marlowe, I believe in coming straight to the point. So much precious time is wasted in this world.
Yeah? Well, my time's not all that precious.
Mr. Marlowe, you'll find that I'm a candid man. The question is, have you ever heard of the Eyes of Alexander?
I'm pretty candid myself. The answer is yes.
Are you acquainted with the history of the eyes?
Not really. I know they were part of a statue once and worth quite a bit of money.
That, sir, is the understatement of the ages. Permit me to summarize briefly.
Go ahead.
In 334 BC, Alexander of Macedon commissioned a bust of himself to be sculptured. The eyes were to be of the two most perfectly matched blue sapphires in the world. It took years to find them. One of the sapphires came from Ceylon, the other from Kashmir. But by then, Alexander lay on his deathbed in Babylon. Legend has it, the bust with the blue sapphire eyes was the last thing on earth that Alexander ever saw.
I see.
The bust became part of the spoils of a succession of conquerors. After nearly 2,000 years, the statue was in possession of Ali Pasha.
A Turk? True?
Yes. But the band of Greek renegades stole the bust from Istanbul and smuggled it back into Greece. There it remained for more than 100 years when the Germans invaded.
The Blitzkrieg boys, right, Wolfie?
Mr. Zindernoff spent time in Greece during the war.
And I'll wager he was wearing gray, with a crooked cross on an armband.
General Zindernoff managed to secure the bust, smash it to pieces, remove the sapphires and hide them only hours prior to the Allied takeover.
A little post-war insurance, huh?
The general was convicted as a war criminal. He served 17 years.
Hell, that's longer than the Third Reich lasted.
After prison, Zindernoff returned to Greece and met a nephew who served under him during the occupation. The nephew had gone to the United States and was now working on an American film being shot partially in Greece.
I'll bet you a cold beer the nephew was a prop man named Horst Borsch.
Yes, Zindernoff knew he would have a difficult time smuggling out the sapphires.
But Horst Borsch wouldn't, in one of the prop boxes.
Borsch and the sapphires left Greece. Unfortunately, Zindernoff did not, until recently.
What detained Wolfie?
He was recognized by one of the Greeks from the occupation. An argument ensued, then violence. Mr. Zindernoff stabbed the Greek in the throat with a fork.
Back in the slammer. And all this time, Horst Borsch is sitting on those hot rocks back in the good old U.S. of A.
Until his recent unfortunate demise. Now, may I inquire, are you currently in the employ of the Commodore?
The answer is, I am not, currently. I'm just an independent businessman trying to get more independent.
A good answer. Very good.
Glad you like it.
Mr. Marlowe, I am prepared to pay you the sum of $100,000 for the Eyes of Alexander.
I'll think it over. You really don't like Greeks?
That's not always the case. As a matter of fact, Anastasis and I were once business partners. We owned our first freighter together.
What happened to the partnership?
It was dissolved when he scuttled our ship for insurance and went into business for himself. Mr. Marlowe, $100,000.
I heard the figure. It's the best offer I've had, so far. Say, Wolfie, did you know that Zindernoff was the name of the fort where everybody got killed in Bogest? Standing there at the threshold was Cynthia Ashley. And next to her, with an astonished look on his face at the sight of me, was Mr. Zebra.
Oh, come in. Mr. Marlowe is just leaving. Mr. Marlowe, this is Mr. Zebra.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Marlowe.
Likewise. I was feeling flush. People were shoving money at me from all directions. I had the 500 in one pocket and Borscht letter in another. All I had to do was figure out the riddle, and there'd be a lot more. But there's always a but. At the office, I got a mysterious phone call from a muffled voice. If I wanted to know where the eyes are, go to a garage down the alley behind the Vanity Fair building. I left Duchess and went. Slid open the garage door. It was dark inside. All of a sudden, it got darker. I got hit with a judo chop from the edge of somebody's hand. I went down and out. Again. When I came to, the money was still there. But Horst Borscht's letter was gone. For what good it would do, I did have it memorized. I staggered back to the office. I needed to think things over. Take a little break. I'm going to lie down.
With Mr. Gazelle?
Your hands. Stick out your mitts. Yeah, that's it. I thought so. Soft. No, it couldn't have been you. But then again, it could have been somebody you hired.
I am completely in the dark.
So was I. You work for the Blue Man?
Not exactly. I work for myself.
Don't we all? Just what is your business?
I am a humble, reasonably corrupt opportunist.
How'd you find out about the eyes?
Zindanuf and I were cellmates. You might say we were more than that.
I never would have guessed.
We were the only civilized persons in the prison. After a time, he confided in me. Not completely, of course.
Of course.
I had often before negotiated the disposition of certain artifacts that couldn't be sold on the open market. Paintings, jewelry, other...
I get the picture.
When I got out of prison, I made the necessary contacts with Mustafa Hakim and Alexander Anastas, whom I knew to be competitors as well as collectors. For this service, I was to receive a 5% commission.
So you're an agent. I should have known.
Of course. Zindanuf never told me where the eyes were hidden. But after I read about Borscht's murder in the paper, he told me Borscht was his nephew. And at that time, Zindanuf admitted he did not have possession of the sapphires.
And that's when you came to see me. You knew I'd been hired by the Borschts.
Yes.
You figured it was possible they told me where the eyes were hidden.
Of course.
Anything's possible. But now what have you got to offer? Your 25 G's is low bid. Hakim upped the pot to 100 grand.
I offer half the profits.
You're offering me half of something I already got all of. What kind of agent talk is that?
I can offer you more, much more, than 100,000.
Since you're double-crossing your old roomie, would you consider this? A third for you.
And two-thirds for you?
No, a third for Borscht's daughter.
You are a man of ethics, Mr. Marlowe. Yes, I would consider such a proposition, because I am a gentleman.
And you got no choice.
That is another good reason.
Now get out of here. Let me get some sleep.
Of course. But we have a deal. A third, a third, a third.
By the way, why were you in prison?
An affair of the heart.
Yeah. I hope he was worth it.
Excuse me, Mr. Gazelle.
Zebra. Good day.
Oh, Sam, a lady by the name of Elsie Borscht.
Borscht.
Right, that's it. She's on the phone. Says it's an urgency matter.
Elsa, what is it?
Oh, Sam, I just got home. Somebody broke in. Everything's torn apart, even Dad's prop box is out in the garage.
Elsa, go outside in front. Whoever broke in could still be there.
No, Sam, I saw a man jump over the back fence and run away.
Are you all right?
Yes, but...
No buts. Stay put. I'll be right over. Then we'll call the cops. When I got there, I told Elsa about the eyes of Alexander and about Zindernuff and her father. She was astonished. She said she knew nothing about the sapphires. I believed her. When the cops showed up, I told them about everybody and everything, including the eyes of Alexander, but excluding the letter.
Sam, my dad was a good man.
And he was a good soldier. They were all good soldiers, just doing what they were ordered to do.
What do you mean?
I don't know what I mean. It's tough to tell the enemy without a uniform. You know how to end all wars? Make everybody fight naked. Nobody would know who to kill, and that would be the end of it.
Sam.
No, I mean it. And let the woman get in there naked, too. That'd cinch it. No more war. Just peace on Earth and a lot of whoopee. After I got home, Gina called. She invited me to a party on her father's yacht, the Eurydice. I showered, shaved, and gargled. She picked me up in an hour. Is the boat big as a battleship?
Actually, it's a converted minesweeper. Used to belong to John Wayne.
What's a Eurydice?
That was my mother's name. Teresa is my father's second mate. You know, I have a boat of my own.
Congratulations. Maybe we'll take a slow trip to China. Well, let's pipe aboard. They were all there. The Commodore, Teresa, the ubiquitous Zebra, Hakim in blue, Cynthia Ashley, Zindernuff, George, and assorted guests and servers.
Gina, my dear, and Mr. Marlowe, we meet again.
Yeah, small world, big business.
I would like to speak to you later, if you have a moment.
I'm all ears and eyes.
I believe you both know some of the people here.
The Commodore introduced us all around. Hakim's eyes got a little bluer, and Cynthia's a little greener as Hakim held Gina's hand just a little too long. The meeting between Gina and Cynthia was something to see. Like a couple of Siamese cats sizing each other up before an alley fight. Zindernuff clicked off one of his sharpest clicks. Mr. Zebra kissed Gina's hand and simultaneously appraised the diamond bracelet she was wearing. It was that kind of a party. And it was almost an hour later when the Commodore got his moment with me.
Sir, it seems that fate has brought us together.
Fate and your daughter.
I told you my passion is collecting.
I'd say you'd done okay. You've collected everything in the world except a little loose change.
Well, not quite, but I told you, sir, I must have them. Hold them in these hands and see them with these eyes while there is still time. I must.
I understand.
Whatever the Turk has bid, I will better.
The pot's up to 100,000.
125.
Huh. Just like that?
Yes.
I count three dead men. Two of them I killed myself.
Make it 150. Agreed?
I'll think it over. Uh-oh. Here comes the blue boy.
Thank you for your hospitality, Commodore. I'd like you to see my yacht sometime.
Leaving so early?
Yes. I'm giving a party of my own this evening. Mr. Marlowe, perhaps you and Miss Anastas could care to join us. I've taken over the Blue Fez. It's a cafe over on...
Yeah, I know the place.
Please do come. Miss Anastas, I think you'll find it amusing.
Gina and I left before the party wound down. As we walked toward her car, I was thinking that it was a nice night for love.
Did you enjoy the party?
It was swell. I think they'd all like to poison each other. Your place or mine?
Aren't we going to Mr. Hakim's party?
I could live without it.
He said it would be amusing. Let's just stop in for a few minutes.
Sure. Just let me know when you've had enough. The music was right out of Arabian Nights, and so was the place. But instead of Maria Montez and John Hall, the cast consisted of Hakim and friends, Cynthia, Mr. Zebra, Zindernuff, and a few supernumeraries, along with a few nearly naked ladies dishing out food and drinks. There was some sweet smoke in the air and soft pillows for people to sit on.
Delighted to see you both. Come, sit next to me, Miss Anastas. Would you care for something deliciously wicked? Anisette?
Thank you.
I thought liquor and tobacco never touched your lips.
Only on special occasions. to special occasions. And now, Miss Anastas, for some special entertainment. The art of belly dancing is unappreciated outside of the Orient. It's the most sensual and sexually exciting.
Is this a long story? The hand claps from Hakim was the signal for two of the shapeliest belly dancers this side of the Tigris and Euphrates. They wore castanets on their fingers, and not much anyplace else. The dancers gyrated, dipped, and swayed. Zindernuf beat his wooden hand on the floor, and the spectators, all but Gina and me, wavered with the music. Then Hakim whispered something to Cynthia. She stiffened, but rose to follow his instructions. I'll leave the rest to your imagination, but pretty soon she wasn't wearing that elegant gown. Just blue panties and a look of utter humiliation.
Oh, Sam.
He said it would be amusing.
Please, let's get out of here.
Don't go. The show's just starting.
Now the first act stinks, and so do you.
Sam, why are people so cruel?
Different people, different reasons.
I've never seen anyone so humiliated. Sam, you could have stopped it.
Maybe I would have tried if she'd made one move to get out of there. But she didn't.
I despise him.
Hakim, he's just one of the sharks in a sea full of sharks.
Sam, the commoner told me about the eyes of Alexander. That's what everybody wants, isn't it?
That's not what I want.
Whose side are you on?
Yours, Angel, if it's possible. Are we going upstairs?
Sam, I love you, but please, I've got to think things out.
Sure. Good night. Sweet dreams. Never mind what I dreamed about that night. But the next morning, Horst Borst Riddle was still preying on my mind. I went over to Elsa's to make sure she was okay, and to ask her a couple of questions. Questions that might help unriddle the riddle.
Sam, would you like a cup of coffee?
No, thanks. Look, Elsa, I've been thinking. Are you sure about what your father said before he... when he saw you?
No, not really. Not really sure. But it sounded like Ein Schlag, I'm hit or hurt. My German's not too good.
I still think he was trying to tell you something. Maybe something that had to do with the letter. How do you say letter in German?
Huh, let me see. I remember, brief. Yes, it's brief.
No help. Think, Elsa, think. Another word in German that would have something to do with that letter he sent. Ein Schlag, mein Schlag, something Schlag. Maybe if you write it down.
Schlag. Oh, my God.
What? What?
The envelope. Umschlag. In German, it means envelope. Could it have something to do with the...
Envelope. That's gotta be it. Where the hell is it? I put the letter in my pocket, but what did I do with it? It's on my desk. Elsa, you stay here.
Sam, I told them I'd be in work today.
Okay, I'll check with you later. It's gotta be something about the envelope. Great thundering hallelujah.
What's the matter, Sam? What's the Russia?
It's not here. I don't see it. Where is it?
Where's what?
The Umschlag, the damned envelope. It was on my desk.
Yeah. Don't the place look neat? I clean things up some.
Duchess, you haven't thrown anything out since you came to work for me. Why all of a sudden?
I don't know. I just cleaned up.
Duchess, you remember an envelope that was right here on top of this desk?
I certainly do.
Do you remember what you did with it?
I threw it away.
What? Where?
Right in there. There. In the wastebasket.
Eureka!
Isn't that Eureka?
This is it. Look at this stamp.
It's canceled. No good.
It's good, all right. Look. The stamp's got a picture of three Revolutionary War soldiers marching with fife and drum and flag.
So?
So that's the Horst Borst Riddle. I got it memorized. Listen to this. Under the tramp of marching feet, under the beat of daring drum, follow the three beneath the post. Age. That's it. postage stamp. The answer to the riddle is under the stamp. All we've got to do is steam it off.
Now I've got to clean the whole place up again.
Duchess cleaned up while I held the envelope close to the steaming office kettle. Then peeled off the stamp.
That's all I do, is clean up around here.
I'll be damned. So that's where he hid them.
Hid what?
The sapphires.
Where?
Never mind.
Then why are we having this discussion?
Never mind that either. I've got to call Elsa. Wait until she hears this. I swear she's gonna...
Sam, I hear the phone ringing on my desk. Do you want me to answer it?
I got it. Marlo, it was very bad news. Very bad. A couple of kids just found a woman's body in one of the caves at Bronson Canyon, pumped full of something to make her talk, then beaten to death. It was Elsa. She told the officer she was going to work. They thought it would be okay. I begged them to keep that body unidentified for 24 hours.
Sam, there's somebody here to see you.
Cynthia Ashley looked her perfect self again, as if last night never happened.
Hello, Mr. Marlowe. Mr. Hakim asked me to come by and deliver a message.
Go ahead, deliver.
Mr. Hakim asked me to tell you, no matter what Alexander Anastas bids, he will better the offer.
Okay, you told me. Now let me ask you something. Do you always do everything Mr. Hakim asks? Suppose he asked you to sleep with me. Would you do it? Or with Zebra? Or Zindernuff?
You listen to me. Until a few years ago, there was no Cynthia Ashley. But there was a Mary June Janey from a despicable little place in South Carolina you've never heard of. A girl who knew nothing but that despicable little place. And an even more despicable, brutish father who used his daughter in unspeakable ways. I'll leave to your imagination. A girl who had nothing but was determined to...
You can skip the rest of it, Mary June. The whole sad story with the happy ending. Now you've got everything and you'll do anything to keep it as long as you can. Congratulations on your success and what's left of you.
Goodbye, Sam.
Just a minute. I'm not through. You tell your Turkish delight to gather up all the cash he's willing to bid. Charter a helicopter and be ready to meet me tomorrow. I'll call him. Until then, goodbye and good luck.
I'll tell him.
Hello?
Hello, Angel. That boat of yours, is it seaworthy?
You want to take that trip to China?
China comes later. Pick me up at dawn tomorrow and tell the Commodore to get up a steam on his minesweeper and gather up all the cash he's willing to spend on the eyes. I'll be in touch with him.
Sam, I want you to...
We'll have plenty of time to talk when this is over. So long, Angel.
It's... what's his name? Jeez, he's got clammy hands. Should I...
Yeah, shoo him in.
Mr. Marlowe, did you know that Alexander Anastas has possession of Borscht's letter?
Did he show it to you?
Yes. He thought I might be of some help.
But you weren't. Why are you backing the Commodore's play?
I think we can make a more profitable deal with him.
You mean you can? Better than the 5% from the guy who trusted you.
Zindernuff never really trusted anyone except his nephew Borscht. He told me that in prison.
During one of your more intimate moments? Okay, Mr. Zebra. Nobody knows the answer to the riddle of the marching men but me.
And may I ask what you are going to do next?
Tomorrow I'm going to take a little vacation. Now you stick close to Anastas or Hakim. I don't care which, and I'll be in touch.
And we are partners.
Check.
May I inquire where you are vacationing?
Sure. Catalina. Now get out of here.
Good night, Sam.
Duchess, I won't be in tomorrow.
Oh, good. You've been working too hard. You've got bags under your eyes.
Here, Buy yourself a pair of shoes.
Sam, shoes don't cost $500.
Find something that does. Now get.
Thanks, Sam. Oh, excuse me, madam.
You're excused. Find Nikki in 24 hours or I'll raise your rent.
I got a lease.
I'll break it.
How?
Moral turpitude between you and the blonde.
There's no clause in the lease says you can do that.
We'll see about that if Nikki's not back in 24 hours.
Gina picked me up at dawn. We got on her 48-foot canoe, and that's when I told her to head for Catalina. She said she was practically raised there. Had a small house in Avalon and a jeep. When we got to the island, I grabbed a toolkit and told her to drive up the mountainside to what was left of Fort Cactus, built during WW2 in case the Japanese got past Pearl Harbor. What I didn't know at the time was that we were being tailed.
These barracks look like they're ready to fall apart.
Yeah. Here, stick this Derringer in your purse. I'm getting overloaded. Well, as my friend Steve McQueen would say, let's go.
Sam, what are we doing?
Searching for sapphires.
You mean they're here?
Old Borscht worked on a picture called The Divers that was shot in Catalina. He figured the eyes would be safer here than in Hollywood. We'll see if he was right.
But how did you know that...
The letter was no good without this envelope. Here, the stamp used to be. I think what we're looking for is right in front of us. Here, read what Horst Borscht wrote under the stamp.
Catalina, World War II, barracks. In nozzle of fuel tank. Sam, is this the fuel tank?
Should be. It's right alongside the road where they probably gassed up.
Where's the nozzle?
Right here. And like I thought, all rusted up. That's why I brought the tool kit.
Sam, you really think they're here?
They better be. I think it's coming.
Oh, Sam, they've just got to be there.
Either that or the Dutchman had some sense of humor. Well, Angel, I don't think my par will fit down there. Go ahead.
Okay. Sam, there's something there. A little case or something. I got it. Sam, I'm trembling all over.
So am I. Open up the damn thing. There they are. The two most perfectly matched blue sapphires in the world.
My God! I've never seen anything like them. They're frightening, Sam. I'm scared. Let's get out of here.
Put them in your purse.
What?
I said put them in your purse.
Sam, you trusted me.
Why not? What could you do? Kill me? Everybody dies.
That's right. And this time it's your turn.
You'd be Buster.
That's right.
Where's your mask, Kemosabe?
Don't need it. There won't be any witnesses left. Now, you, lady, give me the case you put in your purse.
Sam?
You heard what the man said, Gina. Give it to him.
Okay, Sam.
She did. Reached into her purse, pulled out the Derringer, and shot Buster in the chest. Point blank.
Sam, is he...
Let's see. He is. Right in the pump. Dead as a beaver hat. We went back to Gina's house in Avalon and I made 3 calls to the mainland. 3 hours later, we were on Gina's yacht lying just off White's Landing, with all the usual suspects on deck, ready to go into the salon. Gina, the Commodore, Hakim, Cynthia, Zindernuf, and Mr. Zebra. Just before we went in, Zebra tugged at my elbow and whispered.
Once Mr. Marlowe, remember, we are partners, half and half.
Of course. After you, Mr. Zebra. Both the Commodore and Hakim had small suitcases with them. Hakim's suitcase was blue. I pulled the sapphire case out of my pocket, opened and displayed the stones all around. Well, boys and girls, here they are. Just a couple of blue stones. But there aren't any others like them in the whole wide world.
Oh, I must have some.
They're even bluer than I imagined.
I've waited for over 30 years.
We'll see what you get for your trouble.
May I, Mr. Marlowe, just for a moment, hold them in my hands, please.
Sure thing. I'll drop one in each palm.
The eyes of Alexander. My eyes. I must have them.
You got a shot at them. How about you, Mr. Hakim? Want to heft them?
Yes, please.
Here you go.
Bluer than anything on Earth.
Okay, folks, I'll take them back now. That's enough sampling of the merchandise. Now then, I believe the last bid was 150,000.
200,000.
A quarter of a million.
Well, now, that's some pretty spirited bidding, boys. I like that.
300,000.
400,000.
Good, but not good enough.
450.
Half a million.
Sit down, Commodore. You're rocking the boat. Now, you gentlemen understand that this is a cash transaction. Don't bid any more than you have with you.
600,000.
Mr. Marlowe, 700,000.
What do you think, Wolfie? Not bad, huh? But then, I don't think the bidding is over yet.
750,000.
800,000.
900,000.
Mr. Marlowe, I have $1,000,000 in this suitcase.
And I have $1,000,000 here.
Well, well. Are you boys telling me that each of you is bidding $1,000,000 for the doodads?
Yes.
Correct.
Close them up, boys. I wouldn't want a sudden gust of wind to blow any of it away. Like in The Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
I probably have another 2,000 in cash here in this wallet.
I may have another 2,000 also.
Okay, put all the cash on top of your suitcases. You know, that's a real nice diamond ring you wear, Mr. Hakim. Of course, it's not as blue as the sapphires.
This ring is worth more than $15,000.
That hikes the pot. That is, if you're willing to include it.
Yes.
I too have a ring, Mr. Marlowe, worth at least as much.
Gold watch, Patek Philippe, 17,000.
Uh-huh. What about you, Commodore? You got a watch?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Good. Well, boys, I'd say you're neck and neck coming down the stretch.
Cufflinks, blue diamonds, value at least 5,000.
Very good. Looks like that puts the team from the east ahead.
My diamond stick pins, sir, worth easily as much.
Not quite, Commodore. But are those real gold buttons on that blazer of yours?
Yes, but...
Well, take it off and toss it on the pile. That'll pull you up even.
Look here, sir, you...
Okay, then you're out. And that makes his bid...
Just a moment, I'm in.
Good, good, let's quit wasting time. All that stuff you two fellows are wearing is worth plenty. Go ahead, take it all off and toss it on the pile.
I won't play the fool for you, or...
Okay, then quit! You're out! The sapphires go to the Commodore. Either that or you both strip to your shorts while I make up my mind.
Get these people out of here.
They stay. We still have a couple of things to settle. Like murder. Go ahead, Mr. Hakim, down to your shorts. A man like you, who rarely drinks or smokes, ought to be in pretty good shape. How y'all doing? Mary June? The Commodore was down to his bloomer shorts, lumbering like an old elephant. Hakim wore blue silk shorts. Two of the world's richest men, stripped. Okay, boys, good enough. Sit down while I mull this over. Well, Wolfie, somebody in this room tried to persuade your nephew to double-cross you.
Horst was...
a good soldier. So that somebody hired some goons to get the eyes before you got them. When the smoke cleared, I had my picture in the paper, and everybody wanted to hire me.
Sam...
That's when you walked in, isn't it, Angel?
Merely a case of a dutiful daughter.
Had it all rigged with Cain and some fake pictures I was never supposed to see. But it didn't play that way.
Sam, you knew all this time?
I took a squint when the three of you were laid out. They were more like graduation pictures. But if that's the way you wanted to play it, it was okay with me. Especially when you showed up in my apartment.
Sam, please.
When you couldn't find the letter, the Commodore sicked George on me. He got the letter, but nobody could figure out the riddle.
Sir, I had nothing to do with the killing of Borscht.
Or Elsa. That's right. She's dead. And somebody's going to pay for it. But who? You, Commodore? Gina? Hakim? Cynthia? Zindernuff? Mr. Zebra? Who? Who? Let's see if this 38 out of my pocket can point out the guilty party. 5% wasn't good enough. You wanted half. Or all of it. If you could get rid of me. Right? Mr. Zebra?
Schweinhund.
Girls, girls, let's not get violent. Sit down, Wolfie.
Ach, the labor.
You talk too much, Mr. Zebra. If First you said you didn't know Borscht was Zindernuf's nephew. But later you mentioned that in prison, Zindernuf told you he didn't trust anyone except his nephew, Borscht.
So?
So that's when I started narrowing it all down to you. You're the only one I told about Catalina. Even Gina didn't know. But your goon Buster took a plane and was there waiting.
You are amusing. But would the jury believe you? With your made-over face, outrageous voice and costume? In the vernacular of your country, Mr. Marlowe, you are screwy.
Maybe I am. But maybe not as screwy as you and your kind think. Maybe this is all part of a disguise, a mask, to throw the enemy off guard, to lower his defenses, say and do things he wouldn't do ordinarily, and wind up like you're going to wind up. Did you ever think about that?
Still not one shred of proof.
In my office, we agreed to split the profits into thirds with Elsa. But just before we came in here, you said 50-50. Nobody else knew Elsa was dead. You killed her. And you're going to get knocked over for it. I put my .38 on the table and picked up the case with the sapphires.
What about those? The eyes of Alexander?
Yes, who gets the eyes? They are mine. I've given 30 years of my life.
I walked to the rear of the table, closed the metal case, looked at my watch, and set the case back on the table. They're evidence. It's up to the cops to decide. They'll be here any minute.
They are mine, so can't we make some other arrangement?
It's too late.
Sam?
Yes, Angel?
Sam, I...
That's when Zebra sprang from my .38 on the table. He got it, pointed it at me, and fired. So did I with my Derringer twice. Zebra fell over, dead. But up jumped Zindernuf, grabbed the metal case with his good hand, transferred it to his wooden hand, picked up my .38... fired at me point-blank twice and ran out the door to the deck. Everybody stood there stunned for a couple of seconds. I should have been dead, but I wasn't.
He dove overboard
with the sunfire.
Sam!
He won't get far. Let's go. Well, it didn't end quite the way you expected, or the way I expected, but close. Pretty damn close. Just as the police boat pulled up alongside...
Should we dive in after him?
Don't be a damn fool, Hakim. The police will get him and the sapphires.
I don't think so.
Why not?
Shark! Shark! Shoot it! Shoot the shark!
I can't get a clear shot.
It got him. The shark got him. The cops got him on board. What was left of him.
Hakim, did you see which arm the shark got?
The one with the sapphires.
Damn.
Sam, did you see? That shark had to be 20 feet long. Swallowed his arm like it was a string bean. Jaws as big as...
Yeah, there's been a lot of those sharks around lately. I had a lot to explain, including the two grown men without their pants on. That night, I turned Nikki, crutches, bandages and all, over to Mother.
Nikki, oh, honey pot, what happened?
There was an accident. Hit and run. Poor old Nikki lost his memory. Wandered around for days and a days till his memory came back.
Alethea, truth?
You poor baby.
Suffered internal injuries. There was damage to his groin.
Good God, you mean... Oh.
Yeah, you'll have to be gentle, Mother. Warm baths, tender loving care. Nurse him back to health.
Oh, I will. I will. Come on, Nikki. I'll carry you home. Up you come.
Yes, yes, Mother.
Mr. Marlowe, you get 3 months free rent.
But there were still a couple of loose ends to tie up. Lucky for me, one of those loose ends was at my apartment waiting when I opened the door to my inner sanctum.
Hello, Sam.
What are you reading, Angel?
One of the books from your library, The Maltese Falcon. I'd never read it before.
The girl goes to jail in the end.
Sam, I never meant for anyone to get hurt.
I did.
But why did you let Zebra get your gun? He could have killed you.
No, he couldn't. I loaded it with blanks.
But why?
Because I didn't know if a jury would convict him.
So you were the jury.
And the executioner.
Sam, all I tried to do was help my father before he went blind.
How's the Commodore taking it?
I think both he and Akeem are getting ready to go fishing for shark.
They'll be wasting their time. The sapphires were right here in my pocket. And now, right there on the bed.
Sam, my good God, but how?
I palmed them when I closed the case.
What are you going to do with them?
I don't know yet. I would have given them to Elsa. Maybe you still want them. The last time you were up here, that's what you were trying to...
Sam, do you really believe that?
No, but you can have them if you want.
Never. But really, what are you going to do with them?
I won't let the Commodore or Hakeem get them. Maybe I'll give one to the Foundation for the Junior Blind, and the other one to a cancer clinic. You know, Angel, you look a little Chinese tonight, like Jean Tierney in Shanghai Gesture. It was this scene where she came down the stairs.
Sam.
Yeah?
Shut up, Sam, and come closer, closer.
Yeah. Here's looking at you, kid.
Radioactive Theater's production of The Man with Bogart's Face. Audio Journal is a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. This program was produced and directed by Catherine Thornton, Julie Standrovich, and John McManaman. Tune in again next time for Radioactive Theater, a production of Audio Journal.
At both ends of the block were cop cars. Their lights were flashing.
The street was blocked off?
Right. The street was filled with stool pigeons.
Everyone was a stool pigeon?
Everyone. I couldn't take a step without being squealed on.
How were they squealing?
At first, everyone had a walkie-talkie.
Walkie-talkies?
But as I kept walking, they got more sophisticated and they were using cell phones.
Talking or text messaging?
First talking, then texting.
To the cops?
Some weren't holding any device, they're just talking to themselves.
Probably Bluetooth.
But as I kept walking, they stopped talking. I knew they were just thinking.
Did you know what they were thinking?
I knew their thoughts were being transmitted through implants to the cops.
Were they local cops or feds?
Who knows anymore? I mean, these were my neighbors.
You live on that street?
Yeah. I suspect it was a big reward for the biggest rat.
You mean the rat who'd rat the most?
I mean ratting on somebody. Now that I can understand.
But a stool pigeon?
That's the lowest a human can stoop.
So comparing a stool pigeon to a gutter rat, who's worse?
No comparison. You can't stoop any lower than a stool pigeon.
So what happened?
The alarm went off.
You woke up?
That's right. That's what I thought.
It was all a dream?
That's what I thought.
It wasn't a dream?
It was, but now it's legal to tap my phone. To read my email, to bug my house, and to watch me from satellites, and to put chips in my passport and chips in my credit cards, and there's cameras watching me on every street corner. I mean, we're all living on Stool Pigeon Street.
The project is supported in part by the National Endowment for the Arts.